We're in the seventh beatitude in the Sermon on the Mount, and it has the blessed are the peacemakers, and I've entitled it Christian Harmonizers. And so we're talking about peace, and I selected some hymns along that line, and then the first one is 286, We Gather Together. Rejoice, ye pure in heart, 502. our Father, as you have given us a privilege and providentially brought us that we might sing these hymns and honor thee. And now as we look at this passage tonight about the blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God, we pray that we might have understanding, and as we've asked the Spirit of God to enlighten us, the Spirit of God, we pray that you would do that. May our hearts be searched out. May we put aside the things of the world and distractions and center upon your precious word, because it is that which you've given to us, and it is the infallible word of God, and we thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, we've come to the seventh of the eight Beatitudes. And I think it's, as it's progressive, I think that it's exciting, this matter of Christian harmonizers. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be blessed. Now, I need to make some preliminary remarks concerning this verse 9 of Matthew 5. That is that we're finding that in this passage especially that you need to know first of all that we're living in a world of conflict. And one of the greatest needs is this verse 9, we need peace. Now, I want to clarify what we're talking about, this kind of peace. You realize that our natures, because of the fall back in Eden, and because we are in Christ, or because we're in Adam, I should say, we have received this, the spirit of vindication and curse. You know, it's amazing, even kids beat up kids, you know that? And the world says, you know, what really counts is being tough. And I don't know, we Americans understand, but the philosophy of the Arabs is strength is in power. And that's their philosophy. And so they can wait us out. I must tell you, this is a supernatural thing. If you think there's some kind of pet, 1, 2, 3, and you do 1, 2, 3, and you got peace, it's supernatural. This is the Spirit of God. This is the Word of God. Now, you have to put aside some of these things. It was John Blanchard that said in his study that in the past 4,000 years, only 300 of them had major peace. Out of 4,000 years, only 300 years where they had what they call major peace. So what am I saying? I'm saying, based upon the situation, is that we're not talking about pacifism. These people said no wars, and they're pacifists. It's not talking about pacifism. It's not talking about disarmament. Put away all warfare. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about a kind of a peace at any price. It's not talking about United Nations and international politics either. But nor is it saying to some of us, put a smile on your face and say, have a good day, and easygoing personality, don't get excited, and be a nice and flabby person, and we're peaceful. It's not talking that. It's supernatural. And I wanted you to get that impression first. And it's talking, first of all, I believe, in verse 9, that it has to do with God. God is our peacemaker. First of all, we need to have peace with God. That's the first thing that's important. Oh, now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that those Northern Koreans, that they may have long-distance missiles, and they have warheads, they put atomic warheads, and you mean to tell me that's more important, that peace is more important than that kind of stuff? You mean to tell me international terrorism isn't as important as passage 9, verse 9? I'm saying to you, yes, that's right. This is our Lord Jesus speaking, and I get all wound up with the present administration and the financial business that we're in, and depression. That's more important than this passage. It is not. Because you and I both, one of these days, will be out of here, and unless the Lord Jesus come, and you're going to have to meet your Maker, and each man's going to stand before the judge. So don't give me this idea that I have to be impressed with the world to such extent that this is not really important. This is very important, verse 9. Peace with God between me and God. And that only comes by way of the Lord Jesus Christ to have peace with God. And this is utmost importance. Sure, you'd like to be up on the news. But let's get some things straight. I'm speaking to myself. That we need a radical transformation. And that has to do with a new birth, a renewed in our minds. This is what's utmost. This is first. Priority is first. If we can get that in our heads, we might be a different kind of a church. But we seem to have, like the world, get involved with worldly impressions. And some of these things are not all that soul-stirring. I'm sorry, friends. That at the beginning is this peace with God. Perhaps you need a verifying verse. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 1, or 5, chapter 5 and verse 1, it might be a verifying verse to help you see that if you relegate this as only, well, here we are, and he's going to talk about peace. So we got. No, no, no. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is of utmost importance to me and to you, that justification by faith, which is a legal aspect of our salvation, that we have that, and then we have peace with God. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that, friends. That is tremendous. And so that's what's, first of all, important. It's only by our Lord Jesus Christ. And this, what is priority, is between me and God. And only through Christ. You know, God is holy. And he said, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. You say, oh, well, I can't figure that one out. We got some things to do. But Jesus shows us how that we can have, in verse 9, how we can be peacemakers. Actually, the word means doers of peace. In verse 9, he said, that's what I want you to be. Now, if you say you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've gone up these steps, and as we wouldn't hurt to look at him again, because by nature we kind of forget some things, that if we have come to a place where we see that we are bankrupt spiritually, verse 3, and that we come to that place, and then we're candidates for the kingdom of God, and through salvation, we find in verse 4, we mourn over the fact that things that we've done and the things that we think and so forth, and we mourn over that. That's a sign of a real Christian. That's birthmarks. I tell you, these kind of birthmarks are very important. And then as far as meekness, and that is humility, there's a spirit of pride in our generation. I just read an article on and how that we love ourselves to such extent that, hey, we are somebody. And this is getting increasingly worse in our society. And I kind of figure that's in the Christian church also. We are somebody. So I have you know that. But verse 5 says, no, no. You know somebody. You're to be humble, not proud, and walking like a wooden soldier, like so to speak. That's the kind of people that's going to inherit the earth. And you want to have part of that new earth that the Lord Jesus is going to have for us. And then we also look quickly at having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Boy, I want to get something out of this message tonight. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for the Word of God. You better get at it, preacher. Yeah, well, you get at it and listen, because some of us have studied. And so it's up to us to say, I need to be hungry. And that's the characteristic of a child of a God, a Christian, a kingdom child. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll fill you. And he said, and you'll be filled to such extent that it'll flow over and you'll be merciful. Merciful. And you'll take care of people. It won't be just Molly and me and a baby makes three philosophy of life. You're concerned about people in need. You don't depend on a government to take care of everybody. If somebody has a need, you're just supposed to think about it. There's a place for benevolence yet. Oh, all right. Now then, did you look at something else? Yes, we looked about the need for purity. And that is verse 8. And if you're going to have some purity which comes through Christ, that's the only way you're going to see God. Well, some people aren't too interested in that. But I want to say this. Now then, the seventh one is the matter, God has blessed the peacemakers. That's a tremendous word. For they shall be called the children of God. Now, first of all, then peace with God, yes. Secondly, with man to man. You know, there are people who are not peacemakers, they are troublemakers. Troublemakers. Yeah, they are. If you're having a meeting in a room and they come in the room, the whole atmosphere changes. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, they're going to bring something. They're going to say something that's just going to take out the whole feeling of the meeting. Troublemakers. Even in churches. Mixed multitudes. They had them in all down through the years. And pride is involved. Now you want to listen to me. This is my idea on the matter. Well, is it biblical? Well, it doesn't make a difference. I've been around town. No, sir. The selfish. I just talked about love of self. But it says now you become a peacemaker. And since you have peace with God, you ought to have it with others. Again, I'm going to take to another passage. Let's go to Ephesians 2. We need to look at some other. It's inverted pyramid. What is Ephesians 2 going to tell me about this matter of having peace with one another? And in the church, it's an area where a lot of times we don't have peace like we should have. But in Ephesians chapter 2, and I begin to read it, verse 14, it says this. It says, Ephesians 2, verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath both made one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What is it saying? It said there was a time when Jews and Gentiles, before Christ, I mean, hey, if you were a Gentile on that day before Christ, they hated one another. But Christ has made it possible so that Gentiles and Jews can have harmony together. It's through Christ. And he said, to be able to break down that wall there. And so our blessed Lord shows us how that we can have it. You know, I want to go, we're near here, let's go to Romans 3. You need to see why we need to work at peace with one another, because by nature, in Romans chapter 3, we have this disposition, and including you and also me, you say, oh no, oh yeah, you don't know yourself. Because this is the Word of God, and it says in the third chapter of Romans, and I begin to read it, verse 10, how that it really is. And this is what God has to say about the matter. And that's where we have problems not having peace with one another, even though we're talking about Christians. Now, what about it? It said, by nature, because of the fall, because of the curse, in verse 10, it says in Romans 3, that as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Oh, but I know some lovely people. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And the Lord God says, I want you to see how it is by nature outside of Jesus Christ. You can see why there's not peace between men. And it says that their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's an awful indictment. Don't even like to read it. But that's the way it is. Since the Garden of Eden, and now because of that curse that fell in the Garden of Eden, and because of that, Now we're in Adam and all are sinners. Galatians 5. And some of you know where I'm going. Corinthians, Galatians 5. We need to see the Word of God. Why people don't have peace among themselves and why there's conflict in homes and work and all these areas. Galatians 5. And look at, started with verse 19. And it says this. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Oh, they really are? Yes, they're manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. Oh, I'm tired. Heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in a time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you know the other side of the beautiful story, but the fruit of the Spirit, how that changes it all. It's not all dark and gloomy. It's Christ makes a difference. But by nature, we are at enmity with God. We're enemies of God. You say, I don't understand why the Civil War ever happened. I mean, even so far, what we looked at the scriptures, you can't understand how brother could fight brother. You can't understand the Civil War. If all that you got tonight from this passage in these scripture verses, and you can say, I don't understand how people get so upset with one another. There it is in the scriptures. Oh, but tell me something, the last part of that verse 9. I want to hear that because I want to hear the last part, which is the reward. And what about it, Lord? He said, you know, the peacemakers. He said, you know, I'm going to do this. And they'll be called, they shall be called the children of God. Now, children is great. That's a family. How many children do you have? Go on. But the word really is sons. Well, why didn't they put it that way? I don't know. I wasn't there. But from the Greek, it's better translated to say what? That he said, you know, if you're a peacemaker, yeah, you shall be called the sons of God. Now, you ladies, you understand that too, don't you? I don't need to go into that. But the sons of God makes a difference. If you don't mind a personal illustration, I will tell you, as a young fellow, I used to go with my dad because he was working in the garage at Saturday. I'd get off of work and I'd go into the town, I'd see the movies and so forth. And then he, after work, he'd go to the bar room. And so he said, come on, we're going to the bar room. And so him, a little guy, and you know, I dare some drink, you know that. He'd sit me up alongside him in a stool. And his buddies come around, hey, John, how are you? Oh, I see you got your best man with you or something like that. How are you, young guy? And my dad was proud. Most fathers are proud of their children. Come on, let's admit it. So are you moms. And I felt good. I felt real good. What's the point? John's sidekick. My boy. That's what that means. God says, if you're a peacemaker, you're my boy. You're mine. You are to be like me. You're to act like me. You're to look like me. Well, look, I don't understand, but that's what it's, the idea is. This is my boy. That's a beautiful. That is so startling to me. God is saying, I look at you, and you have been saved, and you know the Lord Jesus, he can say, that's right, he's mine. She's mine. And you know what? Getting to act just like me. Like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a precious reward in that verse 9. God said, I'm going to call them the sons of God. I just think that is so great. He said, the word is, if you're a doer of peace, that's a mark of a Christian. And he said, I want you to know this. You're a harmonizer. And he said, God is a God of peace. And he said, you're mine. And you're being made into the likeness of God. How you doing? You know, could I say, Abba, Father, you're becoming like Daddy. I think it's really amazing. We're getting some emails from my young father, and when I saw him, I gave him a little tickle, and he laughed. He was a few hours old. And the nurses, they're clever. Why, we've never seen anything like that in all of our life, that a little baby, a few hours, they'll laugh. Come on, girls. You know that just makes fathers beam all over. I get that impression with the last part of verse 9. That the father is so pleased that that we're part of his family. We've been adopted in his family. He's pleased with us since we're peacemakers. You think you ought to try looking at this word peacemaker and see whether you would fit into this category? I think so. I feel that way. Well, like, for example, where are some areas that we could take some instruction on? Well, the matter of brotherhood. Psalm 133, brotherhood. And I think this is precious, too. This is the way it's supposed to be with Christians. If we're going to start with the home or start with the church, we need to look at passages like the Lord God says in Psalm 133 in verse 1. He said, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's God speaking. That brethren, he said, how good and how pleasant it is. He said, my boys, my children, they dwell together in unity. You know, he said, it's like the precious ointment upon the head. It ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon. Oh, yes, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. He said, it's precious when brethren have unity. It's easy. It's easy to get out of place. If I could talk about the church, in church at Corinth, it wasn't a matter of some people saying, we're vegetarians. No, we eat meat. And if you get the impression in 1 Corinthians there that they're squabbling more about eating, whether you ought to eat vegetarians or eat meat, that's not it at all. That isn't a point there at all. The point there is that they were viewing one another incorrectly. I mean, that's peripheral. And I think that happens more than you want. There's this matter of fighting. It is a matter of, well, like Pilgrim's Progress, very first chapter. And there's Christian, and he's telling his family he's escaped from the city of destruction. And he said, let's get to the celestial city. Come on, he said, we got to get out of this mess. Let's get to the celestial city. That was his great burden. But if you're down in this earth and all you think about is worldly impressions and that's what takes your time, he said, I don't think you got it. You didn't get Pilgrim's Progress. It starts off by saying, listen, we got to get out of this city of destruction. We're going on to the celestial city. Let's go, family. I tell you, it's amazing how that people in homes and families and churches, it's there. It's there. In homes. You know, boy, it's sad when somebody says, you know, we have folk in the family that don't speak. Man. That is sad. Doesn't that hurt you? You don't speak. They don't have time with each other. In fact, in matter, they have real opposition. You say, what's that have to do with anything? Well, what's it have to do with verse 9? Please answer your own questions. It said, God is saying that the people who are peacemakers, that is, that they are like the Lord Jesus and they know the Lord. And he said, I'll call you my sons. You're sons of God. And when you see families that they can't talk to one another, they won't admit any fault. It's his fault. He's the one that's wrong. It's not me. And they won't listen to one another. Won't you talk this thing out? No, there's no more talking necessary. It's just troublesome. It's really hard. Do you need to listen to how to be a peacemaker? How to be a Christian harmonizer? I tell you, friends, it's a high honor. God says it's a high honor. I'm going to call you sons of God if you're peacemakers. Wow, Lord. And he said, I want you to know it. To do that, you have to do this. You say, well, I'm going to go take courses in psychology. And I will be a Christian psychologist. And when somebody has a problem, I'll use a little worldly psychology with a little Christianity mixed into it, and I'll just be a wonderful person. Don't kid yourself. That's not it. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to show you that at the cross of Jesus, that our blessed Lord took the wrath of God, and if we have the wrath of God removed from us and He saves us, there's a peace that passes understanding. He said it's the gospel people need. They don't need your sugar-coated psychology. They don't need any of your wisdom. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and a supernatural birth. Oh, then you say, for some reason I have a change, a renewal of mind and an attitude about some things. Yeah, you've been born again. It's a supernatural thing. And your desire that people might know Christ and the Prince of Peace. Well, I just look at this verse and I'd say, well, I tell you, this old tongue needs some training. This whole idea of being proud, pride. I'm talking to Christians too. Our tongues and being proud. And the idea of not being able to forgive. The idea that, I don't bother. Let bygones be bygones. It'll be all right. No, it just festers. When you see him coming down the street, you see him about two blocks down, there comes old Hank. And Hank and I, we aren't getting along too well. I guess it'd be about time for me to go across the street. I can't look Hank in the face either. And yet I say I'm a Christian. There's a need for verse 9. And God says, yes, there is a need. There's a need for what I would refer to my personally Christian harmonizing. And he said, I tell you, God says, I'm in favor of such things. God doesn't need warriors. He needs evangelists. We heard it this morning. We don't need the moral majority. We need evangelist. And this makes a difference. And that's true, my friends. And so at work, I've been at work already. You go into the lunchroom and you know what it is? Really. Just a gossip session. And the boss. It's the whole period. And you people think that I know what I'm talking about? Work. What miserable place it can be. I go to school faculty lounge, the same thing. Education doesn't make a difference. It's there. That's why the Lord says, he said, I'm so pleased. I'll bless you, my friends, if you're a peacemaker and you work at this and you give the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where real peace comes. And you pray that the Lord will take the gospel, change lives. You take this old world. Sure, we're to pray. And I think it is to pray for our president. You say, I don't like it. Hey, pray for the president. That's what the Word of God tells you to do. Pray for the administration. You say, I don't want to pray. Don't quit arguing about it. Say, pray for peace. You say, well, I don't know. This in our society is getting so everybody is pluralistic. This guy says, I believe this way, and this one I believe this way, and I believe this way. And so, hey, what's the use of even talking about it? Just go along with it. Go along to get along. No. The Bible says that we're to even be divisive. Now, wait a minute. You're talking about peace, and you're going to bring in something that if somebody's wrong, you may tell them, and it may cause divisiveness. Hold on to your seat. Maybe the Lord willing, we get to verse 10 sometime. But I'd like you to turn to Matthew 10 because we're right close there, aren't we? Go to Matthew 10, if I can find a verse. Look at verse 34. Why? See, I don't understand some things. No, of course not. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 34 and on. Lord, what do you mean by this? Well, he said, this is the way it's going to be. He said, think not that I've come to send peace on earth. Wow. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Wow. For I've come to set a man at variance against his father. The daughter against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Well, now that puts a whole different slant on what you're trying to say. Well, I want to say this, that in this world there will be opposition, and some of it gets so violent. But the gospel is still there, it's still the answer. In 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 3. You say you're all over tonight. Well, I can't help it. 1 Peter 3 reference, and I want to read a couple of verses there in 1 Peter 3, and starting at verse 8. And what does it say? Well, it says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrary wise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Whoa, boy, that's beautiful. For he that will love life and see good days, verse 10, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Good words for us, friends. We've not arrived. But if you're a Christian, you'd say your heart's saying, yes, that's what we need more of. I need to work on it too. I need to see that the answer is that you may have to make us. If somebody comes up with something in the way out in left field, you'd say, well, no, that's not what God says. And we may have to try to correct them. And they say, well, I don't believe that. You say, well, peace will return back to me because I have given the truth. That's in another passage, so I'll go there. When I get in the opposition, perhaps I'll take you there. But the point of it is that we need to, how do we do this? Well, it's through Christ. And he wants us to proclaim his gospel. It's not that we get up and talk about how to be healthy and wealthy and how to be famous and how just to have everything go smooth and go first class in this life like I hear on stupid TV and radio. Most of it is. It's not that. The important thing is verse 9. And it really is. Are we in a category, as I would ask myself, are we poor in spirit? Are we? Do you mourn over your sins? Are you a humble person? Do you really have a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Is there purity in your life? Is there a desire for peace, keeping peace and being a Christian harmonizer? If there is. You see, some of us we dread conflict. I'll do anything not to have any. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to be a nice guy. I'm not going to say anything that would disturb anybody. That's not what the Lord is saying. He said, I tell you, you'll be blessed if you be a peacemaker and you take the example of the Lord Jesus. And when people weren't doing what was right, he said there will be opposition and some of it would be violent. But he said, you still tried to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, just don't worry about it, Tom. Some people are afraid. You're afraid. I'll tell you what makes you afraid. If you spend most of your time and most of the week talking about the things of the world, hey, this and that, I read this and I read that, and the North Koreans, and I talk about in terrorism, I talk of Iraq and Afghanistan, and I listen to all the news and so forth. You know what it'll do? It'll put fear in you. You walk around afraid to, you don't have the courage enough to talk to somebody about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ savingly, you'll die and go to hell. I can't do that. Well, you've got too much of the world. The impression of the world has gotten you to a place where you say, well, let every man do his right. I just believe in the sovereignty of God. You better believe in human responsibility. His blood may be upon your hands. Well, you need courage? Sure. Some of us are not all that bold. But I do think that if we're not careful, we need to pray about it. Lord, help me that I be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. But you see, Gideon, he set up an altar for the Lord, and he put the title Jehovah Shalom. And what do you mean by that? What's that altar for there, Gideon? He says, the Lord is peace. God is peace. That was what Gideon put on that altar that he made. Jehovah Shalom. God is peace. And he apparently believed it was necessary to talk about it. And so I ask you and I ask myself, are you, the last part of verse 9, you say, I am a child of God. Even more specifically, a son of God, the likeness. He's my boy, he's my girl, she's just like me. Are you? Do you seek that you might be a peacemaker? Or are you kind of a fellow that's a troublemaker? This passage would say, pursue it. Get at it. Pursue it. Make it a point that you might be a peacemaker, a harmonizer, and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Lord says, I'll bless you for it. People need to have a new heart. They need to be saved. And I tell you, this whole world has lots of its problems. But if you and I can see, the bottom line is, the priority is at the very top. People get peace through knowing Jesus Christ. And we need to preach Christ. We need to give forth the Word of God. Hymn number 580. Yes, when peace, that's what we're going to sing about. When peace like a river, 580. fitting that we close with some further scripture. Listen to this from James. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust and war in your members? You lost and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask amiss and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Our Father, help us to see the need. The need for desiring and the need for being real peacemakers by giving the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and depend upon the supernatural work of the Spirit of God in salvation and changing, transformation, giving new lives, new hearts. Our Father, we desire for salvation of family, neighbors, and friends. Help us as we have some plans, and perhaps you would guide us further, even as we think of the matter of having some open-air meetings and some street meetings. We ask for guidance in the name of Christ. Amen.